Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your co-host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by David Hong, the VP of Field Operations at Mesosphere. Welcome to the show, David.
Thanks, Colin.
I'm really excited about this because we just had Jamie Buss from Zendesk on the podcast. I don't know exactly when the episodes are going to line up, but let's just say roughly 6 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So if you're scrolling through, just scroll back about 6-7 episodes. And with Jamie, we talked about the sort of the softer side of MedPIC, of their qualification, and how she's able to forecast their revenue down to within 1%. And to provide some context, they're about at a $500 million annual run rate. So to be able to forecast your quarterly revenue within 1% is phenomenal. She introduced me to David because I asked for other great people. And what David is going to bring to the show today is, so with Jamie, we talked about the what and why to do MedPIC. With David, we're going to dive deep into how to do MedPIC. So we're going to talk a little bit about sales operations, your philosophy on sales ops, some projects you've built, and then we're going to dive deep into your implementation of MedPIC in Salesforce.
Great. Sounds good.
I've been really looking forward to this one. I love anytime we can go inside somebody else's Salesforce and see some of the cool things they built. I just get fired up like a little kid.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So before we jump deeper into some of the projects, I know you've got a bit of a philosophy. You're well known for your philosophy on sales operations. I'd love if you could share.
Sure. I can't remember when I first started sales ops, but it's definitely not a profession that you major in college or you come out of college wanting to do the sales ops. People typically kind of fall into the role, and that's how I kind of got into sales ops. Sales ops has kind of traditionally been looked at as the enabler for the sales team, whether it's quote to cash, deal desk. But I think, the trend has been this kind of broader sales ops, more of kind of a biz ops function. So you've heard, field ops, biz ops, and so forth. And the way I look at sales ops is it's the Switzerland in the company, if you will, right? and if it's structured correctly, and if it's, let's just use the terminology of business operations, they're not necessarily reporting into sales, nor are they reporting in marketing, nor are they reporting into finance. So they become the Switzerlandian organization that not only owns, the process or responsible for the process, the data, the analytics, so forth. So they have a very, holistic view and also, unbiased view of metrics, mm-hmm. for that matter, right? So that's always been that kind of my vision and how I try to build my team so that they're completely agnostic. Obviously, one eye towards a customer who is sales, helping with deal velocity, sales processes and tools and whatnot. But at the same time, making sure we've got the facts, that everyone agrees on the facts, and everyone is, motioning towards the right goals. So some of the kind of key principles that I use is, clarity around definitions, right? Whether it be stage definitions, whether it be, do we have the right target profiles? Are we talking the same language, if you will? And there's a lot of frameworks out there. McKinsey 7S is something that I use to help kind of guide, if you will, how do you define?
Could you elaborate on the McKinsey 7S's for those that don't know?
You can probably Google. I'm trying to see if I can show something here. Google McKinsey 7S's and talks about kind of how do you define the 7S's around whether it's go to market, whether it's related to sales ops or whatnot. The 7S's, and you can read them here, hard elements and soft elements. The hard elements around strategy, structure, and systems, right? These definitions should be known by yourself, teams, hopefully your go-to-market teams, that you all agree that these are the definitions to these hard S's. The soft elements, shared value, skill, style, staff, are less stringent and can be defined differently for different kind of function in the company. But at the same time, those definitions should be obviously agreed upon within your business unit. So little color there. And how that kind of relates to one another and so forth. It's a good, again, with any framework, and there's a lot of them out there, but this has been something that's been useful for me and helpful to kind of communicate out to the go-to-market teams.
Gotcha. And so those that are listening, it's essentially the shared values is sort of at the core, and then strategy, structure, systems sit on top or sit on the outside of the top half, and then skills, staff, and style on make up or comprise the bottom half, and they're all interlinked together. That's right. That's as good of an audible explanation as you're going to get out of me today.
Right. that's one of the frameworks that I use. And around those frameworks, three kind of key principles that I use with my teams is around clarity, scalability, and predictability. Right. So again, clarity on the definitions, clarity on the process, clarity on the right tools, right? I think the scalability is, as a company grows and you've got product market fit and you're growing your go-to-market teams, what's going to break, right? Are the comp plans truly incentivized for, 10x more reps in that function? Are the quote-to-cash tools and processes not going to break and so forth? And then obviously predictability, and that should be the ultimate goal for any kind of sales field business ops role is how can I provide predictability or the KPIs, the analytics back to the organization to say these are the right investments or these are the right sale motions that we need to focus on and vice versa, right? And these aren't, and we need to pivot here, reinvest our investments elsewhere, so forth.
Could you give me an example of predictability?
Yeah, I think there's kind of a sales 101 around pipeline coverage. Everyone tries to smooth out the hockey stick of the quarter. How do you incentivize that curve to be less hockey stick? Mm-hmm. Getting that predictability around. If we can, predict that we're going to be at a certain revenue point, is that enough coverage from a rep perspective? How many opportunities can a rep truly hold? What is the TAM or, total addressable market in that region? And I think that those kind of metrics and analytics really help when you're looking at kind of, all right, where are we going to be in a year or 6 months or whatever your outlook is?
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So when basically you're saying the way you approach it is it started with sales operations, right? And mm-hmm. I imagine you evolved out of were you a Salesforce admin first?
I think everyone started out as a Salesforce admin. As a matter of fact, you've dabbled in configuration yourself. I think Salesforce.com or whatever CRM tool you have, it's the de facto vehicle that's in the parking lot and the sales ops guy just has to drive it. Right. And I remember early on, 2000, I think that's when I first started touching Salesforce, aging myself here. But, I was being asked to, hey, can you change some fields? Can you change the layouts and so forth? And I think you just bolster your skill set by, Google's obviously your best friend and those people in the networks. Right. Going out and meeting the key contributors that can help you and better understand, well, why is this time-based workflow networking triggers, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
So you started off as a Salesforce admin. You've grown into basically VP of field operations. Mm-hmm. I love how you've pulled, even though, we might be talking about sales operations, you've really pulled yourself out of sales and we're really taking a much broader approach to implementing the tools and tech that are going to really enable the entire organization to be successful. So it's not really just about sales anymore. Some of the things that we're talking about is also marketing, probably also ties into, the actual operations of the organization. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's great to have somebody like you on the team. wouldn't we all be so lucky?
sure. I think that's important, right? I mean, sales is just not one silo and it's got, the go-to-market function, if you will, all has to be on the same cadence, you know, understanding whether a campaign flows through end to end, and, you know, do we have the right metrics? Do we have the right workflow, right? And that's one key thing that I would highly emphasize around any tools, any new processes, a sales team is, you know, can you get it embedded in their daily workflow? And if you can't, they're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. So how do you ensure that it does get into the workflow? How do you, you know, measure the correct metrics that you want out of that new process or tool? You know, you've got to think through that.
I think it's called the toothbrush test, that it's going to fail unless they're using it as frequently as their toothbrush. And hopefully that's twice a day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. I mean, it's, look, I'm a family guy, so it's telling my kids to go brush his teeth, brush their teeth. Early on, I'm sure we all watched them brush for 2-5 minutes. And now at a point that says, hey, go brush your teeth. And you think and you hope that they're brushing their teeth, right?
Mm-hmm. You don't have like a trigger or like a Salesforce process manager that sits there at the base of the toothbrush.
Sure. Although there are Bluetooth toothbrush now that you can monitor with your phone. So
no way, you can actually see how long they brush for.
Absolutely.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm building a dashboard for my kids.
Right.
So fast. Oh man. So before we spin off into the weeds and talking about Bluetooth toothbrushes and dashboards for our children, I'd love just to take a little detour here. And for all the sales people that might be in Salesforce, like a Salesforce admin or in Salesforce, sales ops, revenue ops, whatever you want to call it, maybe just let's give some context of some of the other projects that you've worked on. Cause I imagine it wasn't a clear, like you started as an admin, now you're VP of field operations. It probably had some twists and turns, and it was a variety of different projects that really helped you get to where you are now.
Sure. Yeah, no, I think, you know, initially it's all about the sales process, right? You know, making sure that the sales stages are correct. Do you have the right stages? Are the reps following, you know, the stage definitions and so forth? And then that kind of, you know, morphs into, hey, do we have the right amount of pipeline by rep, by territory? And as you go up into kind of broader scope around, well, do we have the right accounts, right? And add to that kind of the tools that you want to have. You know, gosh, there's a myriad of tools that you can measure a lot of those metrics. But, you know, what are the right tools? And do you really want to measure on activities, or is it just on opportunity creation, right? How granular do you want to get? And obviously, it depends on your business, right? Whether you're an MRR, ARR type of business, you want that EKG aspects of the business. And back to your question around kind of, you know, around Salesforce and all the tool sets. And as you get, you know, as you kind of solve those kind of specific sales process issues, you know, it quickly gets into kind of a go-to-market scope. And how do you know that the marketing ops there's a tight integration between the sales ops, sales process and so forth. And you know, are the leads truly flowing through? Are the right leads flowing through? And I think, you know, by nature of kind of that function, your role does ultimately just grow across the organization, right? One example is, you know, we recently moved their entire support team onto Salesforce.com's, support cloud, I guess that's what they call it now. Mm-hmm. And now we truly have a 360 view of the customer, right? Jamie's probably not happy about that, but yeah.
Sorry, Jamie.
Yeah, sorry, Jamie.
Yeah. So you've also built some other things. Like I think you mentioned you built a quote to cash program on top of force.com.
Sure. You know, and again, it's all about relevance, right? And if the audience, majority of the audience, a series seed companies or A, B, you're probably not going to go out and buy a off-the-shelf quote-to-cash product, right? You know, I've been fortunate enough to be with a lot of companies that have scaled and got to a point where we do need a true CPQ tool. But I think early on, you could probably build something to see if, you know, if it works. And there's a lot of, you know, ways around it, right? You can, you know, probably put together a quote generation tool just with, you know, the native features of Salesforce. Or if you want to get a little more complicated, you can integrate DocuSign and all the mail merge tools out there. So In our case, or rather in my case, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have a phenomenal systems guru with me for several companies now who, you know, we share the kind of similar principles of let's build it, see if that takes, right, if the market takes, from a business perspective. And at that point in time, let's then migrate it over to kind of more of a packaged a solution. So we decided to build it in-house. You know, there's obviously some pros and cons to the building. But the nice part of that is you get to customize the requirements to your business case, right? Once we kind of grow into it, if you will, and ready for the kind of next evolution, you know, we're able to then easily migrate that into the new solution. So we keep the end in mind, knowing that we're going to migrate off. But at this kind of phase in the growth of the company, we'd like to keep it kind of simple as possible.
That's fair. Yeah. I'm curious because it seems like you're the company's, you know, far enough down the way that, you know, implementing a click to quote or quote to cash system, you know, I'd love to understand this sort of decision behind that. Because it's the advantages with buying something off the shelf is, you know, it's up and running maybe faster than say if you're to build it internally. If you build it internally, it's more customized. Like was there a speed component too for building it internally?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there was an investment factor in there too, right? So yes, the current company that I'm at is much further along than my past companies. But if you're a Series B, you know, do you want to fork over the big dollars to buy that off-the-shelf CPQ tool? Or, you know, if you're in the process of defining product market fit, or, you know, will this territory strategy that you have built out work? You know, there's a lot of ifs there, right? So I think, you know, building something to just get by for now has higher utility for us than, you know, investing that extra, you know, the big chunk of dollars for a tool that might be a little bit more than what you need today.
Gotcha. So it sounds like you're just trying to get the minimum viable implementation.
Absolutely.
To sort of start and test and see, are people actually going to use this? Because if you go and spend all this money, invest all this effort in, I imagine getting the QTC company or products spun up is probably quite a bit of integration work.
Absolutely.
You're going to make these huge investments of time and resources.
Sure.
You know, it's probably good to know ahead of time if they're even going to use it.
Yeah, great. And hopefully they're using it to generate quotes and, you know, whatnot. But it really goes back to, again, you know, the second concept, right? So clarity, scalability, right? On that scalability, I think there's phases in which you build on top of, right? The ultimate goal might be a true CPQ tool. But in getting there, I think, look, a lot of startups pivot their strategy, right? Pivot their business plan, you know, decide to go direct and then realize, hey, we need to go channel. And I think a lot of those kind of requirements do change as the company grows, especially in the early phase. You know, post CD, it should be pretty well defined by then.
Gotcha. So you're all about making sure that you're flexible enough and agile enough to keep up with that change.
Absolutely. Bootstrap it first. See if it works. If it starts to break, then shift.
Cool. I want to ask you about one last project, and we can jump into MedPick and,
sure,
and your Salesforce. But you mentioned last time we spoke, and this was a while ago, and it was still under construction, and it might still be. But you had a project where you're trying to make it easier for SDR teams to qualify.
It is still kind of in the sandbox, if you will. So the whole concept was, you know, can we have, what the ask was, can we have a nice wizard that reflects all of the attributes of a, you know, sales qualified lead, so sales accepted lead, if you will, and can we allow our SDR team to then, you know, rather than a massive layout or drop down, but rather one quick visual force page to be able to quickly click on, yes, I have that criteria, I have this criteria. And obviously on the background, we have an algorithm that says, based on all the clicks, you know, your score for this SAO is, you know, a 95 or 85 and so forth. And obviously that could be done without a visual force page, probably done on the layout, but you know, we decided this would be a cool tool for the SDR team, but rather the real carrot here is get them to input. if you have something nice and easy, then they're going to do it. Again, going back to the workflow, right? Can you embed it into their workflow to get something out of the reps, right? Mm-hmm. And with this, what's beneficial on the back end is now we pull reports to say, all right, show me all the SALs and the scores, right? And again, myriad of ways you can probably slice this, but this allowed us that visibility into the data, if you will.
Very cool. I love that piece. It's something we had something similar and not as complicated, not in Visual Force. We started in good old Google Docs, even though we used Salesforce. Yeah. And for all our initial conversations, so when we were qualifying, we had all these questions we wanted to ask. Mm-hmm. And we just had a section at the top of the Google Doc that was, this is for mm-hmm. the SDR, and fill that mm-hmm. out. Then this next section was for the account exec, and then, you right. know, so on and so forth. And, right. you know, we had, so when you look at this one single doc, you get a great picture of, you know, where each customer is at. And I, as a salesperson, you know, I love looking at those because you, in one single doc, you scroll up and down, you don't have to click anything else. You get sure. the whole picture. You can read it like a storybook.
Sure, sure.
But when it comes to, if you got more than one rep, if you've got more than one customer that you're trying to close at a time,
all of a sudden
you're chasing Google Docs.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, it was a great idea in theory. And we ran with it for quite a while, before it was like longer than I'd like to admit. And sure. it was costing us, you know, data. So we basically replicated that in like a tool that just is like, it's a note-taking tool that connects into your Salesforce. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And basically we created all those, everything that we needed, created them as fields, and right. just mapped it all in. The tool was called Dooley.ai.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And no, I think, you know, you start with the premise that a rep, and it depends on whether you're a field or an inside, right? The typically inside is at headquarters at the, you know, behind a firewall with high speed internet, et cetera. And they've got multiple monitors, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas in the field, you're plane, trains, automobiles, you might be able to VPN in, you know, into your wiki and so forth. So we built it in a way for the audience of the user, right? So an SDR is typically at headquarters. They're on high-speed internet. They've got multiple monitors. But at the same time, you really want a rep to be on two windows, right? You got Gmail and you got your Salesforce. And how do you allow them not to pop out of those windows? And so if you built it into Salesforce, then they really don't need to leave that window.
That's fair.
Increasing the, you know, probability of them embedding it into their daily workflow.
I know we're going to get a little distracted here, but I love Gmail. I think it's one of the best. It is the best in my it's my favorite. I won't say it's the best. It's my favorite email program. Sure. Yeah. I've used everything from like.
There's Outlook. Probably people cringing right now here.
Either. Yeah. They're like, no, I'm never letting go of my Outlook 2003.
Right.
That was my favorite version of Outlook before I got super bloated and right. all that. Like, I think I held on to that version for a very long time.
Right.
but I feel like for sometimes it's like your inbox is just where email productivity or where sales productivity goes to die, right? There's so much garbage that just ends up in there. And as a salesperson that's trying to focus, mm-hmm. right? It's so easy to get distracted by just opening up your inbox and be like, okay, there's all these like 30 other things that can distract me from exactly what I'm trying to do.
So I have an interesting point of view on that. I agree with you. I was an Outlook, you know, fanatic and made that transition. I don't remember when, but that transition was very painful.
Yeah. But then very painful.
But then when I realized, you know, you have to make Gmail work for you. And if you can let go of the notion of folders and adopt labels, there's actually a great a blog post on, and I forgot the name of it, but basically it's a step-by-step blog post on how to configure your Gmail to work for you. And the basic premise is you've got your Gmail, one pane of inbox, but this allows you to have multiple panes, and you're able to define which each of the panes reflect, right? So, and in addition to that, the concept of Gmail is you archive everything. And you render in only emails that are relevant to you. Again, going back to the premise of making Gmail work for you, mm-hmm. And being able to flag which correlate to each of the pains. So if I get an email and it's high urgent, then I'm able to, you know, I think it's a red exclamation mark, and that automatically goes into the window pane that is categorized for that particular icon. And that way, when I open up Gmail, I'm not seeing what's not relevant, but rather it's already pre-prioritized for me.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, love it. I'll track you down after the call here, and I'll get that link from you. We'll throw it in the in the show notes.
Yeah.
So we've done a lot of teasing, and I'm ready to let's dive into to MedPick.
Sure. Let's do it.
So I think you've got some slides, and then we'll actually jump into your Salesforce. But I think for a refresher of those that didn't see the Jamie Buss podcast, there we go. What is MedPick?
Sure. Let me go full screen here. So this is just a slide in our sales process deck around, you know, defining what that sales process is. And this particular slide talks about MedPick. You know, I think this originated from Medic, and there's probably many forms of Medic out there. And this is how we define MedPick. So I won't read through each of the definitions here, but metrics, economic buyer, decision criteria, decision process, paper process, identify the pain, champion, and competition. This, you know, I can't take credit for this. We have a phenomenal sales enablement leader here who has, you know, from his previous lives has kind of recommended this methodology, this process to our business, if you will, as you realize that, look, we need again, going back to clarity on specific definitions around these metrics, if you will, so that we're all talking the same language, and at the same time, the reps also understand, you know, where am I in this deal? Is it real? Am I talking to the right person? Do I understand what that process is going to be once they say yes, and so forth? So hopefully this is helpful for you and your audience.
For sure. I'm curious, rough deal size here. Are we talking low five figures, mid five figures, six figures, eight figures?
Yeah, so our business, we're you know, on the ARR side of the business, and we are talking larger. We are targeting global 2000 companies, so we're not in the SMB or even kind of light mid market. So we're targeting large global enterprises. So and typically it's a land and expand model. So you know, the first deal might be, you know, in the six figures, and then obviously the expand deal is obviously larger in size.
Cool. Yeah. And I'm curious, just because you put it on the slide, so I'm going to have to ask, what is Champ for upsell renewal?
Sure. So let me go to that. So I give you a specific definition of Champ. So Champ essentially is challenges, authority, money, priority. So go present mode here. You know, if you think about kind of converting a lead to a sales qualified lead, you know, we want to make sure that the reps are focusing on identifying, you know, what are the challenges that they're faced with, you know, who has the authority, whether it's the business side, the money side, or even the technical side. Money obviously is a critical factor in the buying decision. So, you know, do they have it? Can they source it? Can they do they already have budget, you know, for this project or product? And then, you know, what's the priority essentially? Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah.
Cool. And so this is a precursor to MedPick.
That's correct.
Gotcha. So is this what your SDRs are filling out?
That's correct. Primarily the SDRs are focused around these kind of components, on, you know, is this the right target for us? Is there a high propensity for this, you know, lead to convert into a sales qualified lead?
Gotcha. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we start with Champ, then we work our way to MedPick.
That's right.
Perfect. And then to actually get into MedPick, where does this live? What does this look like?
Sure. So, you know, back to you, I think you made the earlier comment that if you don't, you know, get it in front of the rep or put it in Salesforce, you know, you're not going to be able to measure it. So, you know, on that note, we decided to embed it into Salesforce. And there's a myriad of ways you can do this, right? You can actually buy off the shelf products that we've also actually looked at. But again, going back to the premise of we'd like to build things, test it out, and then see if it scales. And decided to build it in the opportunity object. So this is just a test opportunity here, and it's a related list. And to create a new record, simple as a click, and increase the size here a little bit so you can see. And we've structured it in this format of three Y's, and that's pretty straightforward. The actual MedPick fields. Right. And then what are some additional components of the close plan? Right. So I'll go into detail here again. I don't want to take full credit here. There were a lot of smart people that I worked with to come up with this. Right. All the way from the MedPick definitions to, the three whys. And obviously on the system side of, building this out into as a visual force page. And one cool thing about this visual force page, what that allows you to do versus a typical field on a layout, is that you're able to embed the question on the layout, right? So at one click of create, as you recall that I just clicked, it shows you exactly, if you look at the first question, why now, rather than referencing a document that's on a wiki, on a Google Doc, the question is right there, right? Why does the customer need to make this purchase now? And as somebody types the reason, right, it goes away, right? And that saves. And if you decide, hey, you know what? That's not the reason, the question reappears. So again, it keeps the rep engaged or person engaged, and referencing the question helps guide them in that specific question.
Gotcha. And so basically the structure of what you've done here, like walk me through how we got to this page. What started first?
Sure. We started with MedPick, right? That was kind of our core sales, sales process component, right? And we obviously got down to the questions, if you will, to help guide the rep. And if you took a step back from there, we wanted to, because MedPick is essentially part of a closed plan, mm-hmm. right? One suggestion was, and within the closed plan, we just collapsed this. There's some additional things around risk, right? What help do you need? What's the org chart look like, and what's the kind of the timeline of events leading up to the deal itself? And this is the first iteration of it, and we've got some additional steps that you have to do to either attach or chart or the timeline events, if you will, that's attached to the record. But this in its entirety is essentially the deal's close plan, right? You've got MedPick, you've got the additional risks and help. And more importantly, the three whys. And this is, a suggestion by our customer success leader of, what's worked for him in the past. And I've seen iterations of this, and I'm sure you have too. But, if you can't answer these questions of why now, why your product, why do anything at all, that really helps to kind of clarify, why am I even moving forward with this deal? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, again, the layout helps, understand exactly what the question is asking for. And as you type the reasons, that helps to kind of guide the rep throughout the process.
Perfect. So my Salesforce experience is mostly in like picking fields, building dashboards and things. I haven't touched Visual Force. What was the scope of this project? Was this something you did in an afternoon? Was this weeks or months worth of work?
Like I said, I've had the privilege of working with some amazing coworkers, and one of the folks on my team is just a wizard in all things system-wise. Taught himself Salesforce, taught himself coding, and so forth. The process, I'll kind of walk you through the process. Here's the ask from the leaders, the field leaders. Hey, we want to build MedPick into Salesforce. What's the quickest way we can do that without too many dials, buttons, and levers, but at the same time, give them the right guidance so that it's a standalone solution. So, you know, I get in a room with my systems leader and essentially kind of whiteboard the various solutions we could build out. You know, there's obviously the t-shirt size of small, just kind of building it out as Salesforce as layouts. But what is that extra additional, you know, clicks and calories that we can invest in to make it pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we decided, you know what, I think it's worth the extra effort to build it in the Visual Force page because, one, it allows for layouts, it allows for definitions, and again, it looks a lot better than you know, a typical kind of opportunity layout with fields.
Mm-hmm. And you've really accomplished the clarity here, right? There's no going to, like you said earlier, there's no having to jump back to the company wiki and be like, okay, what is a decision process? What am I supposed to put here? And how do we score this? And,
Absolutely. Yeah. And it goes back to that workflow, right? Because we all know, we've all been there. We're, you know, between flights, we're going to customers, coming back from customers. You know, the last thing you want to do is remember a definition on something that your manager's pounding you to get done. Mm-hmm. So you can at least open it up, whether in your laptop, on your phone or smartphone, et cetera, and at least start the process, if you will, right, as a standalone solution.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what happens after you submit one of these MedPic?
Sure. So once you save it, it creates a record. Obviously, it's going to reflect all of what you've added in there. We've also allowed for a Google's Docs attachments for either the org chart or, you know, here the calendar of events kind of leading up to the close of the deal. And that lives obviously on this record on the opportunity. Now, what's helpful for you know, managers, if you will, is that now it's all in Salesforce and you can run reports against it, right? To say, which opportunities at a certain attribute, right? Whether it's above a certain percentage, forecast category, dollar amount, you know, there's a lot of dials there on the report criteria to say, you know, these are the culprits, right? That I want a closed plan filled out for, which ones have, you know, one filled out, which ones don't. So I think there's different ways of solving it. The way we solved it was, we said the rules are, if you have an opportunity within the quarter that is over a certain threshold, right, over 100K, and it's within, you know, 60 days of close, it's an automatic checkbox on the opportunity. And so what that does is it'll fire off a alert to not only the Opti owner, but also their manager and also our theater leaders to say, hey, this opportunity has met the criteria. Please complete the close plan. And it, you know, obviously it links the actual record. And all the rep has to do is go to the opportunity, go to the, you know, MedPic section. Like I said, create a new one and, you know, off they go.
Awesome. And I'm noticing these are all text fields. So it's all qualitative data.
Yeah, that's so one of the drawbacks of not having drop downs or, you know, actual values is you're not able to you know, pull reports and do filters on and so forth and pull reports on. And this is kind of the early phase of this solution. Mm-hmm. You know, there's many ways to solve this, right? And I think we were prioritizing the fact that, look, we just want to understand, you know, have the reps thought about this and are they thinking about it? And moreover, it also provides an opportunity for the rep and manager to have a, you know, a very high quality conversation about the deal itself. We felt that was more important than mm-hmm. being able to be, you know, not as qualitative or, you know, more qualitative than it is with this solution.
That's fair. Cause I imagine it'd be super easy to just go in and add, you know, a number, you know, 012 next to every single field. But the more fields that you add, the longer it takes to fill out, you know, a MedPic.
Sure. And look, we whiteboarded, hey, there's probably, you know, a particular field that has more verbiage is worth, you know, a higher percentage from a score perspective, right? And we talked about a overall score for MedPic, just like the lead qualification wizard that we talked about, right? So mm-hmm. maybe certain drop-down values give it a higher algorithm score, and therefore this close plan has a higher percentage than other close plans, right? And again, it goes back to, you know, what are you solving for, and are the clicks and calories worth what you're solving for?
Gotcha. Yeah. So if somebody's sitting there thinking, geez, this looks awesome, you know, I'd like to rebuild this, what recommendations, what advice would you have for them?
Yeah. You know, we all know it's not about the tool, right? So it's not about having the right programmer on your team or having the ability to have access to those people. I would first focus on, you know, with your business unit, business partners, you know, define clearly, okay, what are you solving for? Why do you want to do this? You know, play the scenario out as, you know, if we did this and we launched it a few months later, what are you looking to get out of this, right? And mm-hmm. I would start with those type of questions, right? Framework the problem out that way, and then figure out, okay, what does this look like, right? Do you want it in Salesforce? Do you want it in Google Docs?
At some point, you don't want it in Google Docs.
I mean, that might be an argument if you're a small company and you just want to see if this works, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to share best practices, et cetera. It all goes back to what's relevant for your business, right? If you're working with multi-theater sales teams, or you just have a small inside sales team, maybe the Google Docs solution will suffice, right? But do know that you're going to evolve, right? We'll probably evolve from what you see here today to something a little bit more elaborate as it catches on, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. Because the worst thing for a sales op, biz op professional is, hey, the field team or the customer asked for this, I built it, 6 months later, nobody's using it, right? So that's something you want to make sure that you obviously keep an eye towards.
Mm-hmm. I guess with all the triggers and fields, it helps sort of monitor who's filling out who's filling out the close plans, who's filling out med pick.
Absolutely.
Three-wise.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great. We got one last sort of question segment before we close out of this. So I got one last thing I'd like to ask you.
Sure.
But is there anything else we should cover before we turn off Salesforce? Well, that's okay. That's
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Before we move on to the next subject.
Yeah, no, I think, again, this is, you know, and every company is going to be very different. The definitions are going to be very different. It might be applicable to you. It may not be. You might want to trim it down a little bit more. Again, what works for you, it really should be the driver, not, oh, management just wants certain fields filled out, because that's how reps look at it, right? You want me to fill out a close plan? Why? I've already told you, you know, do I really need to fill something out? And then becomes less of a kind of a dog and pony show versus, hey, let's have a strategic conversation about this deal, right? And use that as a guideline.
Gotcha. Yeah. I appreciate the wisdom. My last question, I ask this with every guest, and I never tell them about it ahead of time because it's way more fun this way. You get that little rush of like, what is he going to say?
Sure.
When was the last time you made a cold call?
Wow, that's a good question. Again, relevance. Obviously, I'm not, you know, carrying any quota today. My own quota, that is. And I think the closest thing probably is, you know, outside of revenue and ensuring that the sales team is functioning, recruiting is probably my number two priority, right?
Okay.
Finding the right people. You know, having a deep pipeline of candidates, et cetera. And specifically for my team, you know, I troll LinkedIn, you know, I kind of look at that as sales, because I think recruiters are just as much a sales rep as a rep is. And having to entice somebody via LinkedIn in mail to say, hey, I've got this great opportunity, have a conversation with me. Or do you know anyone that might be interested? It's probably the closest thing to a cold call. And once, you know, if they say yes, is having that conversation and trying to sell them on, you know, the opportunity, and obviously, you know, qualifying at the same time is probably the closest thing to a cold call.
Cool. So I want to give you the opportunity to sell Mesosphere and why somebody should work at Mesosphere then, if that's the context.
Sure.
And
we
always, but the caveat is, cause this is a podcast about sales, we got to role play a cold call. So you got to cold call me. And let's say I'm like a What's your target profile for a somebody that you'd be trying to recruit?
For my team, it's probably on the biz ops team, whether you're a process or system person. And it's about So that's kind of the target profile I would probably look for.
Okay, perfect. So I'll be on the other end.
Sure.
Ring ring. Hey, this is Colin.
Hey, Colin. This is David Hong calling from Mesosphere. Thanks for making time for me. I know I reached out to you about an opportunity that we have on our biz ops team. Love to tell you about the opportunity itself, but at the same time, love to understand kind of what you're looking to get into. Maybe we can fast forward through your background and profile, but what Mesosphere, let me explain it to you like I explained it to my wife, because that's always a clear indication of whether or not it's believable or it's clear. Mesosphere essentially is the operating system for data center, just like an operating system is for your laptop, right? So if you think about the laptop that you're using, you've got a lot of programs that are running, using up so much RAM, so much memory, et cetera. Well, what that operating system allows you to do is to maximize those resources, right? So it doesn't burn up the CPU time, it doesn't burn up your fan, and so forth. If you could imagine data center-wise, whether you're on-prem or in the cloud or even a hybrid solution, what is optimizing the data center usage across all of your centers, right? And that's what Mesosphere DCOS Data Center Operating System provides for you. It optimizes and minimizes overuse of certain data center resources and so forth.
David, that sounds really great, but I'm not a data center engineer. I got my start in as a Salesforce admin.
Sure.
I'm just an operations person.
Absolutely.
Why is all this relevant to me?
Why is that relevant is at the end of the day, you and I know sales ops, business ops, it's all widgets to us, right? Whether it's cloud-based or hardware component, et cetera. And what I need right now is somebody who can understand how do I help a field team sell more widgets and at the same time make it simple, build out solutions that are scalable, mm-hmm. and at the same time provides us a clear metrics to allow us to grow in the right places where we need to be.
That sounds interesting. I'm going to keep cutting you off because I'm a rude person and you cold-called me.
Sure.
Why would I want to work for you?
Why would you want to work for me? That's a great question. I'm trying to build a team that is not just focused on I'm a Salesforce admin and this is all I build, but rather I'm looking for business partners who is able to look at challenges broadly, understand the impact to internal, external folks, and help build solutions that scale with what we have today. And at the same time, as we grow, because we're all betting on the come line here, that it will scale and it will grow. And with that comes more responsibilities and more challenges. And at the end of the day, we want people with a sense of humor and who enjoys what they're doing.
That sounds great. I saw you on this awesome podcast a couple of weeks ago, The Predictable Revenue Guys. It was amazing. Best podcast I've ever seen. I'll take the job. Thanks for coming on the show, David. That was really fun. Definitely enjoyed the time. And if anybody's interested in getting in touch with you, asking questions about the podcast, about the episode, or if they're looking for, if they are that sort of target persona that you're looking for, what's the best way they can get in touch with you?
Sure. LinkedIn is obviously, the de facto, David Hong, H-O-N-G. You can look me up at Mesosphere. Dhong at mesosphere.com is also another way to get a hold of me.
Right on. Great. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Colin. Cheers.